The GAA Programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, catering for clubs and schools with customised team wear.
GAA Vegas Falchuk with Ian Clark coming, Luke Class Gear, shocked on the show with me, Tom Comack, as always on a Wednesday night with you until 9 o'clock. And well, we'd like you to stay with us because we've got a very special guest in studio tonight. We've got an ex-principal teacher, a coach, a footballer and a Donegal Sports Star Award winner as well. That is Christy Gillespie. Former ex-principal teacher in Termon National School and who was honoured recently by the club following his retirement. And Christy is joining us tonight and will be with us right through the programme. So a very special programme tonight going down memory lane with Christy Gillespie. And Crispy, I suppose the first of all is you're very, very welcome.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And tell me, Termon, big turnout for you recently after your retirement. I think up to maybe 400 people, 350, 400 people came out on a Sunday evening to pay tribute to you. Tell me about your Termon years when you arrived in Termon.
Yeah, well, I was teaching Tom for 10 years first here in the boys' school in Letterkenny, and I suppose after 10 years you're kind of starting to think, well, maybe I could maybe move on and try my hand at principalship. So I moved out to Termon in 1993, and once I landed, it's kind of very like Kilcare in a lot of ways, and the school was a similar size. And when I landed, you know, there was maybe 100 pupils in the school, and I suppose from day one you had a good crop of boys and girls there. They were very, very eager to learn. I suppose like a parish priest or something like that, you had the willing audience all the time, or put it this way, they couldn't get away from you. So kind of started, kind of very, very talented players. And I suppose it was kind of like putting a battery into a Duracell bunny, if you know what I mean. I just started working with them, getting a bit of a structure on things and upskilling them. And away they went, and they practiced from day one, and things just started to go from there.
Mm. And I think you had a very special group of girls that time as well, coming a month ago in the girls' competition you swept before you.
Well, funny enough, we kind of the boys made the breakthrough first, and I suppose over the years it was kind of that bit harder maybe for the boys to do well because you had very good teams all over the county. But boys were the kind of the first to make the breakthrough. But at that time, Dewish National School in Balbuffet, they would have been the strong team, and they were supplying excellent players to the McCool's Club, to Glenfinn, and we met them in a county final. And at that time, our big player would have been Michelle McDermott. I mean, she was one of the most naturally gifted players I've ever seen. Maybe Martin McHugh would be the only person you could compare with her. She's a real Rolls Royce of a player. And as I said, she was our main player. But in the county final, she was sick beforehand and she couldn't play. So there was a wee girl in second class, and she had been training away with us, no size at all, Geraldine McLaughlin. And I had no choice but to throw Geraldine in on the day because Michelle couldn't play. And next thing, Geraldine, being the predator she was, Geraldine had two goals scored. So Michelle eventually came on for a while, and she scored 1-3 or 1-4 before she went back off again. And it was enough to get us over the line. And for the next number of the years then, I don't know, was it 4 or 5 years, both in 7-a-side, which was for all the schools in the county, and 9-a-side, I don't think they got beaten for about 4 or 5 years because there were very good players coming through year after year after year. And bit by bit then out in the club, Harry McGlynn then, he kind of started working with them, and a lot of them started breaking into underage county teams and eventually into the senior squads, and started to build a momentum which came to a lovely conclusion then in 2014 at All-Ireland club level.
Yeah, that's the All-Ireland ladies club level. You probably had most of those girls, if not all of them, had you?
Yeah, we would have had a good few, not all of them now, but we would have had a good few. But that year they were under the excellent management of Trevor Alcorn and Francie Friel. And the year before that, actually, they had got into the semi-final, and I think it was Inch Rovers that were playing out here in the home pitch in Termon. And I thought that day they had that game, and I think just in the end, maybe it was just they didn't have the experience that was needed, and as a result, they lost by just a couple of points. But the following year, then, they beat Moran Abbey in the Ulster final before meeting up with, or no, sorry,
meet with Moran Abbey in the All-Ireland.
But they met Moran Abbey then in the final, and I remember I was on radio in the Gaeltacht the evening before with Sean Banbratna, and at the very end of the interview, he asked me, he says, "Well, they won tomorrow." And I said, "Well, they'll not lose anyway," because you could see it in them. You know, they were that bit more battle-hardened. And it's like anything in senior football, sometimes you only get the one chance. and you've got to take it. And I mean, they didn't get away to a great start in that final, but bit by bit they changed their tactics at half time and they took over completely in the second half. And it was no more than that group of girls ever deserved, because not alone were they very talented, but the amount of work they put in over the years, and most of them stayed at it. Very few of them ever fell away.
Yeah, that's quite, they're still backbone the county senior team, don't they?
Aye, very, very much so. And I mean, you know, as the late Michael Oliver McIntyre used to always say, Glenn, you get out of football what you put into it. And they worked so, so hard over the years.
And remind us, you mentioned Geraldine, obviously, and Michelle McDermott. Who else, just remind us, who else was?
Well, I mean, you know, out there were, of course, there was the families, there was the McLaughlins, and Geraldine had a sister, Fiona, who was a fantastic player, and for one reason or another, she didn't move on to senior level. Of course, you had all the McCaffertys and, yeah, you know, Emer Gallagher and Anya Boyle and so on. And like, I could keep on just naming and naming and naming. And there was actually quite a number of players as well that, for one reason or another, never went on to senior level, you know. And you sometimes just wondered why, you know, because strong and all as they were and are, they could be even stronger given the players that they had. But in comparison with that, in a funny kind of a way, with the boys, I remember one year we beat Kilcara National School in the county final. And you know, it would have been backbone by a lot of those Kilcara players that are playing there now. And when I look, nearly the whole of the Kilcara team will be starring with Kilcara now. And when I look at the team we had, there's not two or three of them playing now.
Just you mentioned the boys made the breakthrough first. Who was on those boys' teams that would have made the breakthrough?
Well, you know, that would have been a very, very early side. You know, I mean, you're going right back to maybe 94, 95, you know. And I suppose sometimes with national school players, the same with any team, I hate picking out stars, do you know what I mean?
Because to me, at just mention names of fellas that played on the team.
Well, you would have had the two Freels, Brennan and Thomas, and the young Kelly lad, he was a super player in the forward line. Again, Tom, very, very few of them playing now, you know. And sometimes I think it's, you know, it's the same with any club. I mean, it's the stickability of, well, do these players come through to senior level? Because sometimes we think when a player gets to, say, 18 years of age, that, you know, at that stage, that's it, and we're going to get maybe 12 years out of them. But a lot of the time at 18 years of age, they're really only starting as players, because if, you know, they may be able to solo a ball, they may be able to kick a ball and whatever else, but can you do it under pressure? Can you do it at the requisite speed? And sometimes if you look at clubs between 18 and 22, are they holding their players, or are they actually kind of falling by the wayside for one reason or another? Because I was in charge of a lovely minor team here in St Eunan's about 4 or 5 years ago, and we won the league that year and won the area final against a super Buncrana side, and then we lost to Buncrana then in the county final by a point after extra time. And I was looking one evening, out of the 27 of them, there's only 5 of them playing now.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that's the problem at club level. Maybe, you know, they don't.
But I think St Eunan's are probably different in that they have such a huge selection, they can afford to lose players. You know, you take it in Kilcara for some reason, and we'll talk about Kilcara because you're a native of Kilcara, played with Kilcara, had a good, successful playing career with Kilcara. We'll talk about that in a minute. But with teams like St Eunan's, I think they allow players go away, whereas I think they work harder at keeping them in the smaller clubs.
You see, what the likes of a club like St Eunan's, they put in huge effort at underage. And I suppose the government had a policy years ago of centralising, you know, hub towns like Letterkenny and Sligo and so on. And the same thing happened at county level with the likes of Dublin, because a quarter of the population of the country is now in Dublin. And you see, what happens with St Eunan's in particular is there might be 10 players coming through a year. Now, at the end of the day, if you have a senior side, only 15 of them is going to be playing, or 20 of them is going to be playing. So if a lad doesn't break through quick enough, then he's naturally going to get despondent, he's going to walk away. Whereas with a smaller club, you know if you hang around, your time is going to come. And yet, if you watch now at reserve level at the moment, there's not 3 or 4 good teams in the county. A lot of the rest of the parishes, they're so few in numbers that at reserve level at the moment, it's just not happening, you know, and something maybe the county's going to have to look at some stage.
Okay, we're digressing. We better get back to it. Native of Kilcara, played it, brought up in Kilcara, reared in Kilcara. Who were the early influences sports-wise for you on Kilcara?
Well, I suppose, like, football kind of would have been in the genetics in a sense, because my mum's first cousin, he was Big Frank O'Donnell. He played with Donegal and Ulster for years, a big brute of a man. And then on the other side of the house, my own father, he would have won an All-Ireland medal with Connacht Colleges in the early 40s. I suppose maybe one of the first All-Ireland medals came into the county. But Then Michael.
What was your dad's name, sir?
Dan Gillespie.
Dan Gillespie.
Then Michael Carr would have been a cousin. Michael, of course, played with the county for years, and Danny Gillespie. So I had plenty of cousins and uncles that played. And I suppose when we were growing up first, you didn't have much else to do that time, not alone with the no iPads or computers or stuff like that. There were no tellies or anything. So you just headed out with the football every day. And we used to go to a place called Hegarty's Field. And, you know, we'd be playing soccer, Gaelic, rugby, anything that was going. And there wasn't an adult in sight, you know, at that stage. And I suppose it gave the players chances to develop their own unique talents, people like Martin McHugh and so on. And then we would, believe it or not, we would ring down to Killybegs and we would organise a challenge game with them. We would all land in Fintra, and 9 times out of 10, it would end up in a Shemozzle. But then, I suppose, at underage level, Barry Campbell that time would have been doing the coaching, so he was a very good coach. But in those years, there was very, very little underage football. You might play 4 or 5 games a year, and that would be it.
There wasn't that many grades, was there?
No. And under 12, 14, I think 16 and 18. But we never won an underage competition. We would always maybe get to a semi-final and we would lose to St Union's or we would lose to Ballyshannon. So those teams right up through the underage system, we never won anything. Like, I have no underage medal at all. In any grade.
That's the voice there of Christy Gillespie, ex-principal, ex-teacher, ex-national school teacher and principal of Tirman National School, of course a native of Kilcar, also taught in the boys' school here in Letterkenny. And well, he retired last summer, but there was a function for him recently to honour his contribution to the Tirman Club in particular. Big crowd turned out for it. And of course, he was honoured with a Donegal Sports Star National Teacher Award at this year's Donegal Sports Star Awards. We'll talk to Christy a little bit more about his own playing days, because he had quite a fruitful playing time with Kilcar, and probably an exceptionally good Kilcar team that included a lot of, shall we say, All-Ireland winners later and a lot of star players. But first of all, we have to go for a short break.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, catering for clubs and schools with customised team wear.
Fáilteoir Ascaldh Ian Clark, coming to Class Gael, and a shocked on the show with me, Tom Comack. My special guest in studio tonight is ex-national teacher, principal in Tirman National School, Christy Gillespie, and of course a renowned footballer with Kilcar and a coach as well, and a man who was honoured recently by the Tirman Club for his contribution over the last 4 years, almost 25 years with the club, still involved with the Tirman National School, and contributed to a lot of the success the club has enjoyed, especially in ladies football in recent years. And well, just a couple of texts coming in here. Christy, who was the toughest Kilcar player you ever played with? Surely McGroarty, Mr. McGroarty would be right up there. I'm not sure who the Mr. McGroarty is, Christy. And one other one as well. Lovely to hear Christy tonight. I think he could have a career in radio. Watch your seat, Tom. Wish him a very happy retirement and healthy retirement. The Finns at the mountain top.
That's an interesting question. I think that in the Kilcar team of the very early 80s, there was a kind of an attitude in the defence of thou shalt not pass. There were, you know, we had players like, say, John Quinn and the aforementioned Charlie McGroarty and Denny McBrady and John Carr. And, you know, put it this way, it was much better to be playing with them than against them.
Anyway, those texts came in on 086 60 25000. If you want to text us, we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions for Christy, or indeed any other comments or any other issues you want to raise. It's the GA programme here. It's your opportunity to raise those questions. We would love to hear from you. Christy, played with Kilcar, as you said, very little success, no success at underage. Big success at senior level. Many championships?
I suppose, kind of, we were, for years, there was always a good tradition in Kilcar, but the problem was that immigration was killing the whole thing, and a lot of players going away to England and America. Take the likes of Seamus Gallagher, and I must take this opportunity and wishing Seamus all the best. He had a wee bit of a touch on Sunday, but I think he's down here in Letterkenny at the moment. And so, Seamus, if you're listening tonight, and glad to hear that everything's going well for you.
Yeah, and we echo those sentiments. Certainly, Seamus, a great Gael, and a bloody good footballer in his time too.
An absolutely super player, and like a lot of his best years were spent over in London, you know. But I suppose what happened in the end, the upturn happened because in the late 70s, there was plenty of employment at home between the Tweed factories and the fish factories and Killybegs and that. And nearly the whole team were at home at the time and got a chance to go at things. So the breakthrough happened in 1980, and I suppose I was lucky enough. That was my first year in the senior panel. And like, we hadn't won a championship since 1925. And then all of a sudden, the first of them was in 1980, and we would have won four or five championships after that. And I remember in the early 80s, we won four or five leagues in a row. We lost, I think, one game in those years. A fair number of All-Ireland Gaeltachts as well. And I remember in 1989 in particular, where our seniors won the All-Ireland on the same day as the juniors won the All-Ireland as well. And that was the kind of talent that was kind of going through the club at the time. You know,
remind us who was on that senior team.
Of course, you know, the ones that everybody would remember would be Michael Carr and Mark McHugh and James McHugh. But like in a lot of the other positions, you had super, super players like, say, Tommy McFadden playing at corner back, and John O'Donnell in the other corner, and Enda McHugh, the younger brother of Martin and James. And then you would have the Morris Carr, James Carr. Porrick Howley landed in later years, the McShanes, Roger and Mark, Father Charlie Byrne, that's down in Kerrygart now. Charlie was as fast and as good a corner forward as you'd see, but then he had to go away on missions for a number of years, and when he came back then he joined Donegal Town. But all over the pitch, Seamus Gallagher, Sean McGinley and Vernon Higgerty. So, I mean, all over the pitch were super players. And I suppose there was a generation there, and going the whole way through the 80s and then early 90s, it wasn't the same team naturally. Players were coming and players were going, and kind of the Michael Higgertys were coming through and the Kevin Lyonses and so on. So, I mean, you know, all over the pitch, because as I said before, the same at national school level, they hate picking out players because, you know, it really was a team game. And for all the points, say, Martin McHugh was scoring, people were keeping them out at the other end and setting up the scores and the whole lot. And I think that's why the team was so strong at the time, because there was a good work ethic in it. And, you know, it was a strong side all over the pitch. You wouldn't have been carrying players.
And you, that team of the early 80s and 90s kind of has set the tradition that's there now, because there hadn't been a great tradition in the, up to that, you know, of success, had there?
Not really, no. I suppose little did we think when we won the championship, it was a super final in 93 against Killybegs, that it would be 24, 25 years, actually the length of time that I was in Termon, before they actually won it again. And like, if anybody to say to me in 93, because we had a young side at that stage, that it would be another 24 years before you'd be back again, it would have been hard to believe, you know.
And why was that, do you think?
Well, very, very hard to put your finger on. Like, through those years, they had good players. But maybe in comparison to the teams of the 80s and early 90s, physically maybe weren't strong enough. And whereas we would have had maybe stronger all over the pitch, I think what was happening through the noughties and so on was that, you know, they just weren't strong enough as a 15. And a championship's very, very hard to win unless, you know, you're a physically strong side. You'll very rarely ever see a team winning that unless, you know, that you're ticking a lot of the boxes.
And tell me, how did you fare in Ulster? You probably had only, what, one or two outings in it, probably, is it?
We would have been there in 80 and 85, both against Scotstown. We lost by a point against Scotstown. 89 then, we were taken up to a wee small pitch up in Armagh Harps, where all the Grimleys were playing, the big Grimleys. And instead of them playing on the main Armagh pitch, they took us up to a small Tech pitch, which they knew would suit their style of playing. Again, we lost that, I think, by a point as well. But the big regret I always have, and I will for the rest of my life, is in 1993, we played Eric Kilkearn in the semi-final, and it was a draw the first day. And what happened in between times was a disaster for the club, in that the keeper got injured first, and then Neely Bourne had a really bad accident. He was a corner back at work. And then Seamus Gallagher, the manager's cousin, he died. Mark McShane got sent off in a university match, and then my brother lost his young son in a tragic accident. And we tried to get the game off, and Ulster Council said no, and we had to go to play. And I remember Mark McHugh saying in the dressing room beforehand, let's just go out and get this over and done with. And we lost that by 2 points and the replay, and they went out then and beat Downpatrick, I think, by 18 points in the Ulster final the following week. And it was a great opportunity. But I suppose when I look back on it, all those years, like, there's a small area at home called Crov, which would be right on the border with Glencolm Kill, and there were five players up there at the time, the three Gaffigans and the two Carrs. And at the time,
that's Seamus Carr, Noel Carr, Paddy Gavigan, Sean.
Yeah, the two Carrs would be the uncles of Seamus Coleman that plays with Everton now, and the great players and great lads.
Uncles of Desi Farrells as well, were they?
Correct. But they had great attitudes, you know, as players and great players. All represented the county at different times. But because they were going to school with a lot of the Glen lads and they socialised with a lot of the Glen lads, instead of actually playing with Kilcare at the time, they threw in their lot with Glen and actually backboned a really good Glen side for years. But I often think back now and I think to myself, if we had those five at the time, God only knows where we would have gone with it, because it really would have added another layer to the whole thing. But like, that happens all over the county, you know, you have players in one parish and they're playing in another, and that's been a problem in the GAA for years. But I often think, looking back now, because they were wonderful players in every way.
Many thanks for all you have done for Term and GAA Club over the years. It is totally appreciated. That's been texted in. Would you consider going for the Dáil and Minister for Sport? I have Christie. And that's also been texted in here. Seeing you're retired now, you're free to give Barry Dock a hand. That's obviously Barry Dock and Barry Doherty, the Kilcare man. I think Barry's doing quite well.
I think he's doing okay on his own, yeah.
Yeah. He probably has a vacancy now for a time anyway. Maybe a locum or something.
But it is amazing, like, how, I suppose, attitudes and everything, even towards Donegal football, has changed in that period of time playing football. Because I remember when I went to St. Pat's first in Dublin, and you know the way you'd sign up for the different sports groups and that, and I went along to where the GAA one was to sign up with St. Pat's and Aaron's Hope, and there was a fella there, Cork fella at the time, Jerry Murphy, and I signed my name and he says, "Where are you from?" And I says, "Donegal." And he says, "Oh, Jesus, no." You know, and that was just 1980.
Yeah.
And it goes to show you how we've progressed as a county, you know, ever since, because that was the perception of Donegal. Yeah. And it's only 1980 you're talking
about. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You played in Dublin?
Played in Dublin, yeah. Well, with Pats and Dairns Hope, yeah.
Yeah, and any success in that?
Ah, yeah, you know, we had a very good team first year there. I was lucky enough to get on the team as a first year, and
Proved the Cork man wrong.
Well, we won the under 21 championship in Dublin that year. It was a hard championship to win because you were talking about 9-10 games, and you would have had UCD in it and the likes at the time of St Vincent's and Aaron's Isle and Ballymun Kickhams as well. And they all had super, super teams at
the
time.
What year was
that? You know, that would be 1981. And yeah. That was probably the hardest championship maybe in the country to win, because you were talking 9-10 games to win it.
That was just the under 21?
Yeah. At that stage.
Oh, well, who had been on that team? Any friends come through to...
The likes of Kieran Murray and Monaghan was on, Damon McEnany, the Bomber Donoghue, Cavan, Donald Donoghue.
Yeah.
He was the top scorer in Ireland for a couple of years, even when Matt Connor was about and McHugh and that. He was a super, super player. Mm. Lazy, but very, very good.
Yeah. Look, unfortunately, Christy, the old clock is catching up, but it's lovely to have you. And of course... something of a historian as well. We may get you back on that. Thanks for all from Benny Traherty. And great to hear your colleague tonight. Christy has dedicated so much to Termon National School. His award for Sports Star was very deserved from all at Termon National School, Christy. We've just got 2 minutes left. Jimmy Stafford is signing. So we can talk a little further as well.
It's great to hear Benny talking tonight, because my very last day actually in National School, we were playing in 2 county finals, and Benny was supposed to be helping us as he always did over the years, and Benny never turned up. We didn't realise it at the time, but Benny was down at the hospital getting, I suppose, kick-started again, for want of a better way, and he ended up in Derry with at the time after a very serious operation, and he was in intensive care for a couple of days, and he was with his niece and his son in the room, and they were hoping there were no brain damage, anything like that. And the niece mentioned to the son, "Did you hear Termon won the finals?" And Benny put up his thumb. It was the first time they knew he was on the way back. So as Bill Shankly used to say, football is more than life and death.
Yeah, it is, and certainly...
Great
to hear Benny. And the great thing, listeners, is Benny's out and about and he's as going as well as ever and looks even probably a little bit better.
Hard to kill a bad
thing. Yeah, and a good one too. Tell me, of all the teams you played against in the county, what were the big teams at the time?
Well, Glen was always a really tough one for a lot of reasons. Like, you know, it was always a local derby. Ballyshannon had fantastic teams at the time. Killy Beggs, Ardra, You know, it shifted
that's
from
the voice
to
of Christy Gillespie. Unfortunately, we have to interrupt him. That's it. His special guest tonight, Christy Gillespie, Kilcar and Terma National School. My thanks to Jimmy Stafford on sound. Good evening, Seachtain Jogan on Clara Cumann Luke Glasgow, Slán agus Bannock.